because I got high, because I got high.
Go to the next, go to the next, go to the next.
I was gonna go to work, but then I got high. Ooh, I just got a new promotion, but I got high. La da da, now I'm selling dope, and I know why.
Why?
Because I got high, because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna go to court before I got high.
Court.
Ooh, I was gonna pay my child support.
Oh, Officer Joe made us play that.
Oh, you're Dave, terrible. I hope you're laughing. We gotta have a little bit of fun here.
There's so many funny shows. There are funny songs about it. You feel like you're kind of glorifying it, but then. But then there was this peer pressure that I felt, and I succumbed to the peer pressure. So you are into the second hour of We the People Radio. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us, and we have a tab at the top of the page that says pot. All the shows are on there, including this one from April 23rd, 2023, with our guest, Dave Evans. And we have a sponsor this hour.
Yes, we do.
You thought I forgot, didn't you?
No, I knew you were all over it. Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. And they've got everything you could possibly want when it comes to John Deere products, parts, sales, service. They got a great inventory right now if you want to go up and talk to them, make a deal. They got some 0% financing going on. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or you can get them online on the interweb at papemachinery.com.
And with cool April nights, with all our hot rods, you should take a trip up there and take a look at those John Deere tractors, because they're polished even better than some of the hot rods are.
Yeah, they are. They're all shiny and ready to go.
Look at this. You're bucking for a promotion.
So Dave, I'm super interested. So when you fight the marijuana industry, which seems like it has endless amounts of cash and money, you're not finding any insurance companies that are backing up any of these dispensaries when you serve them as defendants, are you? Where are they getting their money to fight you?
Well,
Betterman.
They do have insurance problems, and I think California is looking to set up some kind of insurance plan for them. Okay. We sent a letter out to the general counsels of all of the major insurance companies in the United States. I think we sent out about 50 or 60 of them, warning them about the dangers of insuring marijuana dispensaries. So that's part of the problem. But I don't know the answer where they're getting insurance, if they have any at all. I'm not sure really how to answer that. It might be that they don't have insurance, or they've got a cash reserve, or they belong to an association, or they might be a big organization like Curaleaf, which has been able to get some insurance. But and maybe they haven't seen the need for insurance because they've been getting away with murder. Nobody has gone after them, they don't perceive that they're in danger. They're going to start learning about that, though, because of the things that Civil is doing. I'm going to take that Risk of Marijuana booklet and send it to every marijuana dispensary in New Jersey where I'm licensed to practice law, and I'm going to tell them you've now been warned. If you do not warn your customers about the risk of marijuana, you're not going to be able to say that you're ignorant, we're not aware of it. So it's going to take time, just like it took time with tobacco and with the opiates. There were a lot of lawsuits against the tobacco companies in the last couple of years, over 1,000 lawsuits against the opiate companies, mostly from state and local governments suing to recover the costs of opiate addiction. And the marijuana industry is following the playbook of the tobacco and the opiate. The opiate industry got a bill passed through Congress during the Obama administration reducing the ability of the DEA to go after the opiate companies. And it got a unanimous vote in Congress. Unanimous. And the opiate companies spent, about $12 million getting it through. And when that happened and when they started doing harm reduction and needle exchange programs, we said, and we warned quite loudly, you're going to have an opiate epidemic. And guess what? We were right. And they're doing the same thing that the tobacco companies did. There was a big racketeering lawsuit against the tobacco companies. And Judge Gladys Kessler wrote a 1,600-page opinion finding against the tobacco companies. And I looked at that opinion, and I took the word tobacco out and put the word marijuana in, and it was a perfect fit. Everything that the tobacco industry did that Judge Kessler found was wrong, the marijuana people are doing now. That was a RICO lawsuit. Now, you talked about what we can do about local communities. Well, here's something that we've done that's worked. People come to us. We've dealt with towns all over the United States. But I'll give you an example. We did one in New Jersey. People contacted us and said, we really don't want a marijuana store here, but our town council is enamored with marijuana. They think they're going to get tax money out of it. We think that a couple of the people on the town council are marijuana users. They're really for it. Okay. So, what I do is I write a letter to them, to the town council, apprising them of the legal problems with, getting involved with marijuana and the scientific issues about it. And this is news to a lot of them. I inform them that the FBI has a special unit, to investigate municipal corruption when it comes to cannabis approvals of local towns. That gets their attention. You see, the marijuana industry has not only been found to bribe people, but they do it in subtle ways. They say, well, we had one town in New Jersey that got offered $500,000, just a donation to the town to allow them to set up the marijuana stores there. They start to realize that there's some legal jeopardy. I prepared what's called the legal primer, which goes into all of the illegalities with marijuana trafficking. And I call it marijuana trafficking. I don't call it marijuana legalization or commercial marijuana. I call it trafficking because that's what it is. This is the cannabis cartel. And I tell them, look, if you're a landlord and you rent to a cannabis store, you can be prosecuted for that under federal law. You can be sued for it under federal law. And I go into all the, you know, if you're a doctor and you help somebody get marijuana, that can violate federal law. There's nothing wrong with you recommending marijuana. There's nothing wrong in terms of the law with you discussing it with a patient. But if you take concrete steps to help them get the marijuana, then you're involved in trafficking. And so we do that, and then we work with a local group to educate them. So what we found is with a credible legal threat combined with local citizen action can often work very well. And in almost every situation when the people came to us, they said, look, we realize this is probably a pretty done deal. You know, we're going to be up a real uphill battle. And I just laugh every time they say that to me because they say, no, that's not the case. We have stopped it in a lot of different municipalities using that approach. Now, one of the problems is that there are marijuana users on these town committees, and usually the person that's the most enthusiastic about marijuana is probably a user. We're suing a town in New Jersey right now, and again, I'm not going to make any defamatory statements about any particular individual, but one member of the town council, when I was testifying before them about why they shouldn't do this, gave me the finger. And this guy was a professor of political science at a university in New Jersey.
Wow.
I have that picture memorialized, Dave.
We got a picture of him doing it. We put it in the lawsuit, okay, because we said this was very symbolic of how the town was dealing with these complaints from their citizens. They're giving everybody the finger. So they would not relent. There was talk among the promoters of marijuana to use the name of this town to promote marijuana use. The name of the town is Highland Park. Highland Park. And they wanted to make it a hub of marijuana stores. Now, Highland Park is about a mile square, okay? It is near Rutgers University, which has thousands of kids who want to use marijuana. And they have approved six marijuana stores in a town that's about a mile square. Okay, that's an awful lot. Plus, they have approved consumption lounges that you can come to one of these places and get the pot there, get stoned, and go out on the streets. So they wouldn't give in, and so we started a lawsuit. And the lawsuit got thrown out of court by a judge who was not a litigator and who was appointed by Governor Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, who is a very strong pot advocate. And her throwing the lawsuit out was ridiculous. I mean, she violated every rule for looking at motions to file a motion to dismiss the complaint. This is a political hatchet job on us. So we're now up in the appellate division, and I'm expecting that the appellate division is going to thump her for this. But this is the kind of stuff we deal with. So you have to be very aggressive. And what I tell the townspeople is, don't give up, okay? Do not believe that it's a done deal. You can, if you keep advocating and you educate the town, people in the town about this, you can win this. And we've been mostly successful with that kind of approach. Now, the other thing you can do, this is where the credible legal threat comes in. Get a local lawyer and write them what I call is a RICO letter. Now, RICO is the racketeering influence, organizations law, the federal racketeering law. Selling marijuana, growing marijuana, is racketeering under federal law. Same thing as selling cocaine or heroin or anything else. It's racketeering. If you are involved in a conspiracy, sell, produce, distribute, grow marijuana, you are guilty of racketeering. No matter what your state law says, it's still illegal under federal law. And that is not going to change. Biden is not going to get legalization through the Congress. The Republicans are going to see to that. And then we'll see what happens if Biden gets elected or not. But what is a RICO lawsuit? What is the advantage and why is it attractive to lawyers? Well, it's attractive to lawyers because you can get triple damages if you win. And you can get the attorney's fees paid. And you have to be damaged financially, though, by the racketeering. So some successful RICO lawsuits were up in Harvard Square in Boston. That's a very high-end neighborhood, and they wanted to put a marijuana store in there. And I believe a guy that owned several other stores sued them and said, no. You're gonna downgrade this high-end area. You're gonna, cause damage to my business. I think he estimated it was going to cost him about $26 million, something like that. And he sued them. And they filed a motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim. The court did not support the motion, allowed the lawsuit to go through. And at that point, they settled. And I don't know what the settlement was because the lawyer couldn't tell me, but he said my client was very happy with the settlement. So, and what they did is they got an expert witness to come in to say that there was going to be damage to the value of all these other properties. There was a lawsuit out in Colorado where some people had land and they would ride and recreate on the land, but they didn't live on it. The jury actually ruled against them, I think, because of that. But it was a win for the RICO in the sense that the court said that this case can go forward, because if you have a marijuana facility next door to you and it damages your property, including the fact that it's an illegal activity next door to you, which can damage your property value, the lawsuit can go forward. The case did go to trial, and the jury, I think, just looked at it and said, look, you're riding horses there. Give me a break. Okay, marijuana is legal in Colorado. It was probably a pro-marijuana jury. But the principle was upheld by the court. There have been other. There was another RICO lawsuit in Colorado where a marijuana store wanted to come next to a hotel. The hotel said, "Look, this is going to ruin our business. We don't want it here." They sued the marijuana store, and they sued everybody doing business with the marijuana store, including people that gave them supplies and so forth. And as a condition of getting out of the lawsuit, they made the suppliers and the people doing business with the marijuana store to stop doing business with them, and the marijuana store folded. So there's a lot of ways, but, you know, what we do is that we find out which marijuana stores want to come in there. They get a copy of the RICO letter. You know, these people are businessmen, and they look at this and think, this is becoming a hard target for me. I'm going to go someplace else and someplace where people will not resist me. So we've been pretty successful with that. There's a lot of ways that you can sue. We're experimenting with that right now, particularly with this case in New Jersey against Highland Park. We've tried a number of legal theories that if the appellate division lets us go forward, I think we're going to be successful.
And Dave, up here in California, we're going to invite you to Weed California and let you come see the 10,000 illegal marijuana grows. And we're very interested in RICO there, which is the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. And that was brought about in 1972 to deal with the mafia. And we'd like to use it against the growers up there. And we're just trying to find a plaintiff with some money that would be interested in taking that on, and we are looking.
Well, the other thing you can do in California is you can file a lawsuit under Proposition 65. Right. Any citizen can do that.
That's a clean.
Boys, we're gonna take a quick break here.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
Liam's being the fun killer. We're gonna come right back.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Is your marijuana killing you? A testing of 1,000 NorCal dispensary samples found the majority had toxic mold or substances harmful to humans. As a bud tender, recommended THC products for treatment of medical conditions while you get sicker or exacerbate mental health issues. Get professional medical help and sue the dispensaries for the product and advice liability. Marijuana is not medicine for most Americans, and there's no medicine that is smoked. Remember, let's be careful out there.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Dave, we're dancing in the studio to
I'm still joking into Gene Gene, the dancing machine, for all of you who remember the Gong Show. Had a flashback. It does, but you know what? That does kind of make us all crazy, because the more you learn about this, the more people are like, oh, that's not.
Yeah, but the more you learn about it, it's like, how
can you not know this?
Was this allowed to even get started? Mm-hmm. You know, and now it's completely out of control.
It's all about lying.
Yeah.
It's all about lying and false promotion, just like cigarettes. They're good for you. They're going to be great.
Money.
They're not addictive, blah, blah, blah. Nobody get hurt. So Dave, for all of us out here in the wide world that are dealing with like city councils that maybe have not put dope stores in their town but are thinking about it. Do you have any like preemptive strike letters that you make available that people can give to their, you know, city officials or county officials and say, hey, look, this could be, you know, coming down the, here's a torpedo in the tube lined up for you?
Yes, we do have those types of materials. I'll tell you what we did in New Jersey when they passed, what happened is that they couldn't get marijuana legalization through the legislature there. And we were effective at stopping it, but then it went to a ballot initiative, which passed, and then the legislature passed a bill to implement it. So what we did is we sued the state over the ballot initiative, basically saying they had lied and other things. Now, unfortunately, the people got to me too late, and the court did throw it out because it was filed beyond the statute of limitations for that particular type of lawsuit. However, we managed to drag it out for 7 months while they were supposed to be implementing this bill. And so we delayed the implementation for quite some time. And we took that time to reach out to all of the municipalities in New Jersey, as many as we could get to. And we got all the email addresses for the city councils and sent them information. And so when it came time to implement the law, 71% of the municipalities in New Jersey opted out and said, we don't want any part of this. So even in a case where a lawsuit is not successful, it can be successful in other ways. The other thing that happened is that when they came out with the regulations, because our lawsuit was all about violations of federal law, they put a warning saying that although this is legal in New Jersey, it violates federal law, and nothing about this New Jersey law can stop you from being prosecuted under federal law, and that there's a conflict with federal law, and we have to warn you about it. That was a direct result of our lawsuit. And we're now using that against Highland Park because there is a state law that says no ordinance can be contrary to federal law. And the pot people didn't see that ordinance when they got the thing passed. So there's a lot that can be do through litigation. You can educate people. The government is trying to do it, at least the federal government. Some of the agencies there are trying to do it. But, you know, tobacco was brought down, opiate was brought down by litigation, not by the government. So there's a lot that you can do. It does take a lot of courage to do this. And, you know, people get depressed sometimes. I know we all give each other therapy when we think, oh, my God, I can't stand this anymore. And everybody talks each other into staying in the game. So that kind of thing can happen. But, you know, I stopped smoking because the tobacco pioneers saved my life. The people that worked for decades to stop people from smoking were the ones that saved my life. And I stopped smoking because of them, and I figure I owe them a debt. My wife is Dutch. Her sister's visiting now. We were down at a condo in Hilton Head, and she wasn't allowed to smoke there, which is not the case in Europe. And I suddenly realized how few people smoke nowadays compared to what happened years ago. But the tobacco people never gave up. They fought for decades. And, you know, the tobacco industry set up this tobacco institute to issue false science. They testified before Congress that nicotine was not addictive. You all saw that. I sure remember as a kid seeing advertisements that smoking helps you lose weight. Mm-hmm. You know,
the Marlboro man dying of lung cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So that's where we're at right now with marijuana. And the same thing with leaded gasoline, the same thing with opiates. There were people that had the courage to stand up in the face of overwhelming odds against them and over corporate greed and selfishness and stood up to protect the public health. And this is what we have to do now. This is now our time to do this. And I'm 75 years old. It may not happen in my lifetime, but if I can get a slew of lawsuits going and get the process started before I go, I'll feel pretty good about it.
Dave, let's talk about Freed versus Garland, because I know that that's near and dear to you. And tell us what it's all about, how it came about, what famous people came out last week and spoke out about marijuana. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, we have been we sent a petition to the U.S. Attorney General Garland, who is a political appointee, and we said, look, you got a problem with marijuana. It's causing violence. You know, why don't you enforce federal law? And we sent him our research document about the mass killers and marijuana, and we gave him a lot of information about the dangers of marijuana. We didn't hear a thing from him. Okay. So it turns out that there were some medical marijuana users in Florida. Medical marijuana is illegal in Florida, who wanted to get guns. And they joined with the Commissioner of Agriculture, who's very pro-pot in Florida, and started a federal lawsuit to be able, since they were medical marijuana users, to be able to get guns. Because you can't purchase a gun legally if you're a marijuana user. You can't purchase a gun legally if you use any controlled substance. Now, if you stop using it, then you could get a gun. But they wanted to be able to continue using medical marijuana. And the court said, no, sorry, guys. It's illegal. It violates federal law. You can't do that. Now, the thing that was surprising about this case was the brief that Merrick Garland's office submitted. And it listed scientific studies and everything about what all the problems were with marijuana users, that they were, not safe to own guns. They had problem in decision making. They weren't safe. I mean, they really went after marijuana users. It stunned us. We never expected that from Biden's attorney general, but I guess he got the message. And that was one of the reasons the court found against him and said, yeah, you guys are dangerous. You're not getting guns. Now, we have been spreading the word, and President Trump spoke at the NRA, I guess, a few days ago, and brought up the fact that a lot of the shooting that's going on and the killings is connected with the genetically altered marijuana, which is what marijuana is today. Back when I smoked it, it was 2 or 3% THC. Now it's 85-95% for edibles and 30-40% for smoked. And so he's gotten the message. We gave a lot of information to the NRA. Perhaps they asked him to talk about this, but we gave our study to them and a bunch of other information about how marijuana use was connected with violence. So now we have a situation where Trump and a Republican and Merrick Garland, who is a Democrat, we have a bipartisan, at least, agreement on this particular issue. And that's how we phrased it. It was bipartisan, and we thank the Attorney General for looking at the science, and their brief was full of the science. We thank him for doing that, and we hope that he would continue. Now, by the way, the feds are still prosecuting marijuana. The DEA has a marijuana, domestic marijuana eradication program, and in California alone, they've started a few thousand prosecutions and confiscated all kinds of plants, and they're doing it in a lot of states, even states where marijuana is legalized. So the federal government is not backed off on this. They have gone forward. And we're hoping that they'll do something to start correcting it. Now, all they have to do is do a couple of RICO prosecutions against some of these big marijuana companies like Curaleaf, and that's going to take care of a lot of the business. And then start going after, and that's what we recommended to them, that they target some of these big marijuana companies that are just blatantly violating federal law. And they know it. I spoke at a marijuana conference in San Francisco, pro marijuana business conference, and the MC introduced me, and he said, "Aren't you uncomfortable being in this room with so many people, that are growing and selling marijuana?" And I said, "No, not at all. I do criminal defense work, and I'm very comfortable being in the presence of criminals." And they all laughed because they knew it was true.
So Dave, for our listeners, 4473, which is the federal firearms form that people have to fill out when they get a gun, under subsection G, are you the unlawful user or addicted to marijuana or any depressant, stimulant, narcotic drug, or any other controlled substance? And then they put in a special warning. The use of or possession of marijuana remains unlawful under federal law, regardless of whether it's been legalized or decriminalized for medicinal or recreational purposes in the state where you reside. Right. So that was the nexus for the lawsuit. Am I correct?
Well, that is part of our lawsuit in Michigan, because he got a gun when he was, you know, chronically using marijuana, and the doctor never asked him. The doctor approved the marijuana without ever asking him, was he going to use a gun? No warning at all about this. And you talk about bud tenders at these marijuana stores. I mean, they did a story, a research project. A university in Colorado went to all the dispensaries, and they had a woman say she was in her first trimester of pregnancy, and what would they recommend? Something like, I think, 60%, 67 or 66%. Recommended marijuana for a woman in her first trimester of pregnancy. A lot of them recommended high-potency marijuana. Now, these are bud tenders, people who are probably marijuana users themselves, recommending medical advice for pregnant women. This is what's going on in the United States.
And we have 25% of our youth, our women ages 15 to 24 in California, are now using marijuana during their pregnancy, thereby stoning the unborn and creating all the problems that Dr. Stuart Reese told us about with, you know, we're going to start seeing those birth defects generations down, Dave.
Four generations.
It's really tragic. And somebody has to stand up for these women. Somebody has to do something about it. And California, by the way, has a very good warning to pregnant women about it, you know, not to use it. But the bud tenders aren't giving them the warnings. The American, ACOG, American Gynecological Obstetrical Association or group or whatever it is, has put out a very strong warning about it. But are gynecologists warning people about it? I don't know. Shouldn't these posters be on the doors of the marijuana stores and or handouts to doctors that are recommending medical marijuana? When you get a prescription drug, you get a package insert that has warnings on it. They're not doing that for medical marijuana.
When we come back, I'd like to start with the doctor recommendation things and where that falls in the legal framework, because that's where a lot of this, I realize in a lot of states, the recreational uses has been legalized, but it always starts with medical. And now California has a law where they're trying to force all the cities and towns that have prohibitions on any kind of delivery within their jurisdiction. Don't ask me how they're really going to prohibit people from delivering marijuana, but anyway. If they have a prohibition, they have to repeal that and allow delivery to medical patients. So I'd kind of like to look at the doctor part, because that's where that part starts, and that's where we all got walked into this thing. So you are listening to We the People. You can find everything about the show at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's all going to pop, whether we like it or not. The best I can tell, the world's gone to hell, and they're all Lynchburg, Tennessee just couldn't hit the spot. Got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot. I got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, cause it's all going to pot.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Is your marijuana killing you? A testing of 1,000 NorCal dispensary samples found the majority had toxic mold or substances harmful to humans. As a bud tender, recommended THC products for treatment of medical conditions while you get sicker or exacerbate mental health issues. Get professional medical help and sue the dispensaries for the product and advice liability. Marijuana is not medicine for most Americans, and there's no medicine that is smoked. Remember, let's be careful out there.
I know I'm here for the party.
just be a little memory there for all of us with a misspent youth. I've read about it. It wasn't me, though.
Yeah, no, I never did anything.
You didn't miss,
like that,
just misspend your youth? Mm-hmm. Officer Joe, were you always Officer Joe, even as a young boy?
I had a karate instructor who kicked my you-know-what, and so that just wasn't part of my
life.
So
you have no idea what these songs are about?
I do, because I grew up as a hippie in a hippie school. But long I had a ponytail before I had a butch. So.
Wow, that's confusing.
So, back to Dave, and you had a question for Dave about...
I know, and the medical people. Okay, what about these guys, and why haven't they been sort of hung out to dry yet, Dave?
Because, Dave, well, isn't the AMA against this?
Yes, AMA is against legalization of medical marijuana. The FDA is against it. Most major medical organizations are against it because they know that it's a fraud. Let me tell you a little story about a medical marijuana doctor. I was living in New York, and I'm a cancer survivor and had a spinal cord injury from a car crash. And there was a doctor in a nearby town who had a storefront, and it looked pretty sleazy. So I put in a digital recorder in my pocket, turned it on, walked in, and said that I wanted to talk to the doctor about medical marijuana. So I sat down in his office, he walked in, and he said, okay, well, we're going to get you a card. Didn't even ask me any questions. He was going to give me the card just because I was there. And I told him I had a history of cancer and spinal cord injury. I had all my medical records. I never told him a lie throughout the whole process. He was going to give me a card for the cancer. Didn't ask me if I was currently being treated for cancer, didn't ask me if I had chemotherapy, nothing. And under New York law, he had to have another condition like PTSD in order to give it. And he said, well, I'm going to put down PTSD for you. And I said, well, I don't have PTSD. And he said, well, was having cancer stressful? I said, yeah. And he said, okay, I'm going to put down PTSD. Now, he signed a statement for me to get it. This was a sworn affidavit that he signed. And he gave me a card to get a discount at the local pot store. So... never asked me about my medical records, never examined me, nothing. I think they took my blood pressure. That was about it. So I go to the pot store, and I say, Dr. So-and-so gave me this recommendation, and he said I had PTSD, but I don't have PTSD. He said, don't worry about that. You know, we give that to everybody. We had a mom come in here the other day who was upset about her kids. We gave her PTSD thing. I got all this on tape. I had it recorded. This is very typical of what's going on. Okay, this is not unusual. You live in California, Venice Beach, you know, they had storefronts. These are, you know, I think one California doctor did something like 2,000 of these in a year. A very small percentage of doctors are running these through like pill mills. This particular doctor had been charged with drug driving about a year before I came in to see him. They're getting away with it. Because they haven't been sued for malpractice yet, all the factors that we talked about. And there is the greed factor. And there is political threats. The senator that's trying to get medical marijuana passed in North Carolina, is in a position of power that nobody can get a bill passed without his consent. And so the state medical society is remaining quiet because they want to get their bills through. Law enforcement in North Carolina has not spoken out against it for the very same reason. They're afraid of the senator. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. And you have this kind of junk science. One of the things that we do is we ask doctors a series of questions about marijuana. For example, dosing. There is no medical qualified dose for marijuana like there is with any other drug. There's no time of dose. There's no interaction with other medications. There's no foods that they warn you about that you shouldn't eat. They don't do it on the basis of body size, age, or sex, all of which are factors and method of administration that come in with the administration of any other medicine. One of the things we say is, what is the dosage for this? You want it for medical marijuana? What is the dosage for cancer? Please tell us. It doesn't exist. And if you look at the studies that they use and you ask questions about those studies, everything begins to fall apart. But nobody is asking those questions because the marijuana industry is very smart. They get people to come in and say, my child used this. There was a woman, Angel Raich, who was a big promoter of medical marijuana, took a case to the Supreme Court on this, would get up in front of the media and start crying. That marijuana was the only thing keeping her alive. The only way she could be a mother to her children was from marijuana. Well, we did some research on her. We hired a private detective. It turns out that Angel Raich, I think, is about the fourth name that she's used. She's used her medical conditions in other litigation. In one litigation, she was diagnosed by a doctor as having a somatoform disorder. And we didn't know what that was. We looked it up. It's the modern term for a hypochondriac. And she did have a brain tumor. It's true. She did have a brain tumor. But according to a medical report that we looked at, it was a benign tumor. It wasn't going to kill her. She's probably still dying from it 15 years later. But, you know, she got up and said, I have this brain tumor and marijuana. And people just believe it. We had a guy in a medical marijuana demonstration in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. A guy sitting in a wheelchair, poor debilitated man in a wheelchair. The demonstration gets over. We had a photographer there. Everybody leaves. The guy gets up and walks away from the wheelchair. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on. And doctors go along with it because they figure, well, maybe I can make a buck at this. Or they're afraid to take on the marijuana industry. Talk to Dr. Stuart Reese about that, about taking on the marijuana industry. Talk about woke, you know, problems. If people are afraid, and I think that that's another reason that we want to do litigation, because when you're in court, you are the equal of the other side. You have equal rights. You can fight. You can go toe-to-toe with them. Most of my litigation in my life has been against big corporations. I sued Exxon. I sued Bank of America. I'm just as smart as their lawyers. You can go toe-to-toe, and you got legal tools. You can force them to answer questions. You get somebody that's a neutral third party to make the decisions. You can present evidence, and you have a chance to do that and to make your argument. You don't have that same forum in other places. And, you know, state legislatures let you talk for 2 minutes, three right. minutes. They schedule hearings when they know nobody's going to show up against it. Typically, they'll have a hearing on a Monday, and they'll put out a notice on Friday that there's going to be a hearing. Meanwhile, the sponsors of the bill have notified all the marijuana people to show up on Monday. So the legislators walk into the hearing, and there's 90 people there in favor of marijuana and nobody against it. I was at a hearing in New Jersey once where before people knew who I was, I went around and I talked to everybody. Hey, how you doing? Where are you from? There wasn't anybody there from New Jersey. They had gotten the word out, and they had bussed people in. When they were doing it in New York, they had a pot restaurant up there that was giving people free lunches if they came up to lobby against it. So that's the kind of shenanigans that are going on here. And that's why I'm in favor of litigation, because you can go toe-to-toe. You can get heard. And most of the time, judges are fair. And most of the time, you have an equal chance to get your case heard. And you can go before a jury, who are people just like you that maybe didn't know this about marijuana. And, you educate the jury. And I think that that's what's going to happen, in a lot of these cases. They're going to go before juries. And, you know, if we get before a jury in the Highland Park case, we're going to make a big, glossy, photo of that councilman giving us the finger, and we're going to put it right in front of the jury and say, this is what we're up against, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe he's a professor of political science at a respectable university, and he gave me the finger when I was testifying. But this is the kind of stuff that goes on, that we have to get an end to it. We have to stand up. We have to fight against this.
Well, I think that your information that's on there, like the list of it's listed as other important documents on the CIVEL.org website, the civil.org site.
Yeah.
Underneath the your basic legal primer on marijuana and federal law, but you have categories of the victims of the marijuana industry, and that's a When you look at the category of victims, you think of obvious ones, but you don't think of grandparents, for instance. So when you look at that list, it's really comprehensive. So if you're wondering, I wonder if I'm in play here, you should look at the list. Marijuana as a medicine, policy side effects and specific illnesses, the failure of states to regulate marijuana, interactions between marijuana and other drugs, marijuana and violence, marijuana use and medical illness and brain damage, marijuana use and damage to human reproduction, and my favorite, concerns about CBD. That is really well written. I sent that to a relative here during the show because they were told, oh, you know, it's really great to help you sleep and CBD is not dangerous and it's not really got marijuana in it, blah, 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 blah.
Well, the FDA, if you go on the FDA website, go on the internet, just put in FDA CBD warning letters, FDA CBD warning letters, and you'll come up with about 5 or 6 years of warning letters, and I think it's the one in 2015, they did a study. A lot of CBD products have THC in them, and other problems. So you may be feeling great. There's a lawsuit in New York right now, our New York council. A truck driver was used CBD, was told there was no THC in it. He tested positive for THC in his drug test and lost his job as a truck driver, and he's now suing him for fraud because there's THC in it.
Did he lose his commercial driver's license?
He lost his commercial driver's license,
That's his lifestyle.
His career was ruined, and he sued under RICO, and I think now he's doing state fraud and so forth. So this is the kind of thing that's going on all over the United States. Children are committing suicide all over the United States, and people are misdiagnosing what's going on. Talking about the elderly and fall, I heard your PSA. Don't you think that getting older people marijuana is going to cause them to be more unsteady on their feet?
I'm
75 years old. I'm already unsteady on my feet, let alone if I was stoned. Okay? So these are all things that people don't think about. You know, I have an elderly friend in an elderly, care facility in California. They've got a cannabis club there, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my God. You know? But people just don't think marijuana. And, you know, you look at the victims. We got children, and people in the marijuana industry are victims. They get exposed to all these contaminants and all the problems that in the manufacturing, the pesticides, and everything else. They're victims also. And the hospitals, anybody that pays for medical care is a victim. Just like with tobacco, you gotta expand it all out. And in terms of tax money. Smart Approaches to Marijuana did research in Colorado, and they estimated that for every dollar they get from marijuana tax, they spend $4.50 on all the problems that it causes. And the taxing is a problem. California right now, they're trying to get the tax reduced on marijuana because it makes it more expensive than the black market. And remember, marijuana legalization was supposed to end the black market, and it was supposed to end police dealing with marijuana. So now you have the marijuana companies in California asking for law enforcement to go and crack down on the illegal marijuana growers. And,
it's gotten worse. Just
left California. They can't make any money there because the price of marijuana is so low due to the black market.
Dave, we've got a couple minutes left. How would you like to do a summation today of what you've talked to us about? I mean, is there, you know, can you get
a one-minute closing argument? Yeah. Ding.
Yeah. Well, you're a litigator. You understand that. Give us your best. Where's this all going? Where do you see us in 5 years?
Well, I think if we're successful with the lawsuits and more science is coming out, I think people are starting to get the message. They're having a harder and harder time now getting stuff legalized. You know, it's a lot easier to fool somebody than it is to talk them out of admitting that they were fooled. And I think it's going to be, a tough job educating people. Marijuana is different from other drugs. Marijuana really takes somebody over body and soul. We have cannabinoid receptors throughout our whole body. And, you don't see heroin addicts or alcoholics advocating in state legislatures for legalization of anything. But marijuana addicts do, because getting rid of marijuana from them is an existential threat. And so we have a bunch of people that don't think clearly, who resort to violence and are hostile, and are addicted. And we're doing nothing about it except encouraging them. And I think that's all going to come out in time. Trump said it, that genetically engineered marijuana is a very dangerous drug. Even the senator from New Jersey is now acknowledging it, who's been a big pot advocate.
Playing Spartacus. Little Cory Booker. Oh, my gosh. Dave Evans, it has been wonderful. I hope people will send this show to their friends and family. It'll be commercial-free later this afternoon. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do?